Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I had something playing there, folks. Occasionally I get on. I don't play the previews or shows, but they come on. Magic. I'm not smart enough to even do one on my own, and that's true. This is Bible Study with Carl on Freedomizer Radio. Obviously, I'm Carl. We're going to be with you from 3 to 4:30. Eastern Daylight Savings Time today, and it is now just right about 3 o'clock, and we are going to continue in the book of Judges, which is a very sad book in the Bible. I would think Judges is almost one of the most difficult books where it's just going through Israel's 450 years and 10 different apostasies, 9 different apostasies. Nope, I had that wrong. I always get that confused with the next one. It's 10 different apostasies, which means they fall away from God. They worship Baal. They worship satanic creatures and items of Satan, satanic worship brought into the churches. They went through 9. 10 different judges. They went through 9 of these apostasies. Now I got it right. It's 10 judges, 9 apostasies, 450 years. I don't know why the statistic, I've always got the numbers switched. 9 different apostasies, 10 judges. And they finally ended up where they told God after roughly 450 years, they told God through prophet the judge Samuel. They said, we no longer want God to rule us. We want to be a nation that has a king. And they departed from that. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6, bring Raven on here just a minute. Okay, we got Raven on here. And if you remember in 1 Samuel 8, 6, they told Samuel they did no longer want God to rule over them. They wanted a king. And in 1 Samuel 8, 22, maybe the second saddest verse in the Bible to me, is God said, okay, let them have their king. And they had it. And they've had one since. And I see us in the churches today, we're going down the same path, folks. We're worshiping people. Why do you think there is such bitter hatred among, and I'll use the word hatred, it may be a little strong, but bear with me, among denominations, people who, and anybody who has Facebook knows this to be true, the vitriolic statements among each other on whether you're predestined, your salvation, you have no choice, or whether you are, or whether we reject predestination totally. Neither view is biblical. Why is there such bitter hatred towards people of different denominations? Why is there such bitter, vicious attacks within a single church even? We want to elevate a man to rule over us rather than looking at that man who is the pastor, the overseer, whatever you want to call him, use whatever terminology you want. We want to elevate that man to the status that God should be occupying, that in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6 and 22, God finally said, let them have their king. And we're still that way in the churches, folks. You say one word against somebody who's the golden calf or another denomination or another group of people, or you go in and you disagree with somebody who's in a leadership position, And I'm not saying you rebel. You don't start a rebellion and start going on Facebook and criticizing them, which is very frequent. We want to elevate people to a place of godly worship. And God's allowing us to do it in the churches today. So what we're going to do, Raven's going to, she's on now, she's going to pray for the Holy Spirit to take this, because this is a very, very touchy issue, only to the fact that I'm going to say touchy, because we're there right now. The Laodicean Church, which my opinion, has been in existence approximately 100 to 125 years. Now, no question, anybody who was born within the last couple of weeks would understand that when the Church of Laodicea is described in Revelation, it can only mean this age with the tremendous wealth and all the good works we do, which God says he wants to spew us out of his mouth. This Church of Laodicea that we are in is exactly what is being talked about here, and what caused the same demonic influence is what caused Israel 450 years to go through 10 apostasies. Nine apostasies and 10 judges. And every time they would go from a judge into apostasy, they would suffer tremendous loss of life, tremendous loss of peace, tremendous loss of everything. And we're doing the same thing in the churches today. That's why I say this is, Raven's going to pray for the Spirit to take control of this, because this is the USA Today, today's edition of that paper that we're going to be reading. This is not something that happened 2,900 years ago. It did happen then, but it's happening again in the church today. So, Raven, why don't you go ahead and pray for the Holy Spirit to take over, even what you and I say.
Yes.
And we'll proceed.
Heavenly Father, we just ask, Lord, that right now we put aside all of our own will, our own preconceived ideas, our own wants, our own needs, anything that is of the flesh, anything that is of our own selves, Lord, our own pride, and simply allow the Holy Spirit to do the teaching today, Lord. Anything that comes from us is not appropriate for your ministry. And we just ask that the Holy Spirit teach through us completely. In Christ's name, amen.
You said that well. You know, whatever we think of doesn't really... Even if we're saying things that are statistically or chronologically, biblically correct, it means nothing unless the Holy Spirit is the one speaking through us and we're allowing him to do it. So
that's
the wording you used.
It's funny, Carl, because right at the end, I felt like there was something else I should say, and the Holy Spirit said, nope, that's it. You said enough. So that's all you needed.
So I ended the prayer. True. Because I got to tell you, if there's anything that's painful, Raven, and going to breakfast or brunch or whatever you want to call it after church, and you get into these prayers thanking God for our food, I guess that's what we're aiming to do. I don't even know what you call it. They get into almost the book of War and Peace, when all you have to do is recognize God. Thanks that we have food, clean food and water every day.
Right.
That's what we don't want to get into. When the Holy Spirit says that's enough, do it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I really just try to allow him to lead my prayer. And, you know, often that's what he says. Listen, that's all. That's it. Shut up.
There's something interesting, though. And I am totally convinced of this. And I, Raven, if you violate what I say, I'm going to cut you off on the phone. How about that? You're going to say it's not you, and I know it's not you. But the one thing you bring to the party is you are tuned to the Word, to the Holy Spirit speaking. You're looking for Him to do whatever He wants to do, whether it's to explain something to you rather than Carl. Whether it's to give you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, which Carl can't even do it on his own. I mean, there is something to say about that. You walk down the street, and many people walking down the street, they may have their radio on loud and clear, as we hear at traffic lights in the summertime when the windows roll down, but they're not on the Holy Spirit's frequency. And then those who might want to play the game and be close to His frequency, they have it so it keeps fading in or out or very staticky. Your very attitude is why you're sensitive to the words of the whole, because I firmly believe, firmly, and it's biblical, that everybody born again has access to this instruction, to this guiding, to these teaching, to His saying, stop or go ahead and do it. And I'm telling you, I really believe it's in your desire to hear Him. And if you're really not worried about hearing Him or really couldn't care, you're going through the motions, you're not going to hear Him. So that little nugget that you gave us, it's not you, and I know it's not. But still, your willingness and your desire to only know what He says, not what Pastor Carl says. And I'm not a pastor, okay? Not a pastor, ordained minister in the church. Okay.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Carl. I really do. I mean, I know that you know. I know that you know that it's – what's that?
He's speaking constantly to believers. Two believers, constantly.
And I know that you know that the...
No, go ahead.
I just was going to say, I know that you know that the reason I am so... that I feel the way that I do about being so tuned into the Holy Spirit is because of what I've been through, and I know the consequences if I don't.
But Raven, every human being...
You know what I mean?
Hold on. Every human being who is truly born again, Hebrews 12:8, all believers will go through these tribulations in order to deepen their sensitivity to God.
Right.
But most people, Raven, do not choose it. They do everything they can. In fact, people who are working 80 hours a week in the church to prove their good works, they are being deceived by busyness to where they don't have time to be still and know that I am God. I'm telling you, I know it's all the Holy Spirit. You couldn't even think of turning on to this program today without Him. But everybody has these opportunities, and there are only precious few people who will listen to the Holy Spirit, because the problem is, you stated, what you go through. He's got to break you and remake you like they did with the, was it Jeremiah, the potter and the clay? He's got to continuously do that. And most people don't want that. I don't care how much Christianese language they have on Sunday morning. They don't want to hear from the Holy Spirit. They want to hear from man. They want to hear from their favorite commentary. They want to hear their favorite radio or TV minister. The only value anyone has, folks, is to turn you to the Holy Spirit that Raven's listening to. You and I don't know. I think we agree on this, but I think we tend to look at it a little differently. And you always say it's not me, but I see the part where it is definitely a choice of yours to tune into that station. Because he gives you, remember, go back, you're not as old as I am, but I remember when, back in the 50s, when Bill Haley came out with Rock Around the Clock, and then Elvis, and then Jerry Lee Lewis, and shortly after Chuck Berry, everybody, every kid was sitting on the bench in a baseball game with his little portable radio that he could tune in to maybe two dozen AM stations and a dozen FM at that time. Most of
right.
them, take that back.
I'm old enough to remember transistor radios, unfortunately.
Yep. Well,
I do remember those,
And in those days, it was mainly FM. I'm wrong. It wasn't until later where they had the – but still, you may have had – I grew up in New York City, and we probably had a good 15 or 20 AM stations between the New Jersey and Philadelphia area we could access. It's your choice every minute which station you want to listen to in your mind.
You're right. Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Now, once you make the choice, then you have no more say about it.
Yeah.
Because I know Raven, you're not saying, well, it's all God, not me. You're not saying that for a false motive. But a lot of people are saying that. Because if it's all God, oh, God, and I can mention a man's name, you know the man, you don't know his brother, who made the comment, oh, God just didn't pick me, never talks to me. People will use that statement.
Right.
God
yeah.
talks. It's yeah. your choice.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, I do agree with that. Yeah, it's not like I'm some sort of a puppet or something that, right, I don't.
No.
I don't buy into that
you're
sort
right,
of, no, 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 no.
And yet,
right.
Raven, there are denominations built on us being puppets.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
All
right. I understand what you're saying there, yes.
We're going to be into Judges. And here again,
yep.
I want you to, we're going to start with Judges 6:25, but just to recap, again, Israel has been decimated. They've been destroyed because they go into Baal worship and worshiping items such as Ashtaroth poles in God's church. They didn't even go to the satanic places of worship. They brought these into God's temple. And I want you now to start and read 12, 13, 14, and 15 just to bring us up to where Gideon, God's saying to Gideon, I'm going to use you now to rescue Israel. And Gideon saying, wait a minute, I haven't got any ability. I have no education. I can't speak well. I'm afraid. But let's read 12 through, let's say, 16.
Okay.
In Judges 6.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our father told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.
And that is because, Raven, in 450 years, they went from 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years at a time where they worshiped Satan. It's
right.
Something God's doing to entertain himself.
Right. And you know, when we hear this so much from people now, you know, where's God? Why isn't he stopping everything that's going on, you know? And, well, because it's your own fault, usually, you know.
Amen.
Right. Now, you know,
what you're saying,
be careful,
Raven,
because.
Hold on. What you're saying is distinguished biblically from God allowing trials in your life to get you to
thank
depend
you.
On him. Okay.
Yes, because that's just what I was going to say. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly what I was going to say. All right. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?
Do we really?
So he said
that?
To oh.
You know, Raven, I got to be honest
yeah.
with you. If God were to tell me this, it depends on the extent, but if God were to tell me this, I would save Israel because he sent me.
Yeah.
I know he's not a liar, but I just can't envision
right.
that.
Okay. Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
I understand. So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.
You see
Hallelujah.
The problem, Raven, when we, you see the problem when the churches today are so crazy over their denomination, over certain sacraments
yeah.
you must have to add to salvation, over certain,
yes.
I've been Raven in Pentecostal churches, and I am a Pentecostal believer. I believe in the gifts. I don't know that I have any of them. To my knowledge, I've never had the strict Pentecostal gifts, and I've been to a Pentecostal church where we actually did not read the Bible. We read a certain Pentecostal radio and TV evangelist, both for Bible study and for sermon, his commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Think
right.
of that. Think of that.
Yeah.
Now, I like the individual, the person that they literally had his 20, I don't know, I've got it here myself, 23 volume and huge, every book, anywhere from 4 to 750 pages. 22, 23 volume, big print, 8.5 by 11, both sides of the page. I like this man's teaching, but to elevate a man, they're doing the
yeah.
same thing that they did. Is the Holy Spirit not smart enough to explain what he wants you to get out of the Word? Or do we maybe not want to hear what the Holy Spirit says? That's another point. See, Raven, there's another
right.
point with you where the Holy Spirit tells you to stop or to go for it. Now, some things on Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, and correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't even intend to speak about, and the Holy Spirit made you focus on it. A lot of
Absolutely.
Us don't want the Holy Spirit guiding us. We don't, folks. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Yeah, because we
now,
have an agenda.
Don't think I'm blaming. Amen. And the agenda doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. It comes from man and man's churches. And this is the very same thing that destroyed the Israelites and why they were in the problem. You remember what Gideon's being told here? Why? Read verse 13 again. Read 13 again. This is the
okay.
Israel, the church that Gideon was in.
And Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our father told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.
And you see, Raven, where the churches are going down the same path?
Oh, yeah.
The pastor of our church was not there today. In fact, he was out east of here at another church that, and I'm not sure why they needed him or wanted him or I don't know, but obviously he was there.
Right.
And we had a missionary that gave about a 10-minute little spiel from Poland. And he gave worldwide
okay.
this statistic, and he showed, I'm going to use the word, it's a graph, and it was a line. And if the line went up the up as time was going on, if the graph sloped upwards, it's more people that are trusting in church, that are going to church, that are partaking, that are just physically showing up. Now, that doesn't say a lot that you physically, but since the virus, when the world system that's in place now, even though it's not overtly, when they shut the world down to their thinking in 3 months' time, he showed, and that was like March or February of 2020, he showed where the church is worldwide. The slope is going out for a few years, and then instead of staying straight, horizontal, or going up vertically, it goes down vertically. The churches are collapsing, folks. The people are no longer feeling the need to go to church because you know why? They don't realize it, but the man that they've chosen, the God that they've chosen in their supposed Christian church is not giving them anything that they need.
Right.
That is the problem. Because let me tell you something.
Yeah.
If I really believe what the Bible says, that these things are written so that you would believe, and believing have eternal life. If I really believe that, I would not take a shower without my Bible. And I'm exaggerating, but I'm making the point. The churches, folks, the people in the Christian churches, this is not talking about Scientology or Buddhism or any of these other isms, Catholicism. This is talking about evangelical Christian churches. The slope of church attendance has dropped, and it stayed there. It wasn't just a thing that until we got over the COVID fear. It stayed there because the people no longer see the value of a church. And I'm being general. I'm generalizing.
Yeah.
Don't hear that Carl's condemning churches. Go ahead.
Right. Well, I'll say this, Carl, and say if people believed in God and what how he would protect them, what he was going to do for them, and I'm not just talking about how he's going to protect them on earth. I'm talking about if people truly believed in their salvation, then COVID or the plague or Ebola whatever disease there is out there would not close a church. It would not prevent people from going to church because none of that earthly garbage would matter. And people would say, I'm going to worship God no matter what is going on in the world because God comes first. Because
and
no matter what, because
this
no matter what's going on, because no matter what's going on, God has me. Now I may or I may not physically die. See, but God is still protecting me as long as I am following after him. Okay, so what if I die? What if I die? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Stop living in fear. Stop living in fear.
You're speaking good. You're speaking to me there. Not all the time. But no,
I'm just...
Now, Raven's not saying be stupid. Don't go picking up rattlesnakes. I mean, but there are people, Raven, that go to the other extreme.
Right. Oh, right. Listen,
practice,
I'm not saying...
Practice good diet. Practice building your resistance up. But your faith is in God, not in a doctor. Especially the doctors we had talking to us.
When we had... Okay, let me give you an example. When my kids were little, okay, when my kids were little, and you do what you want to with chicken pox, okay? Chicken pox is not a deadly disease and da-da-da-da-da,
no,
you know.
Horrible.
But
horrible.
When my kids were little, though, we used to have chicken pox parties. That's what they used to call them. And when chicken pox was going around, you would... And now they probably think this is like, what I'm about to say is horrible, but this is what parents did, what moms did. When you heard about a family that had chicken pox, you took your kids over and you exposed all your kids so that they would all get it at the same time and get it over and done with. There wasn't a chicken pox vaccine, and you know what I mean? So we just got it over and done with. And what I'm not saying is just go expose yourself to Ebola or whatever, you know, because, you know, goodness gracious, God's going to protect you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying just, you know, walk into the middle of a city with the plague because, you know, God's going to, I'm not saying that kind of thing, but I am saying, you know, like I said in the beginning, go to church, or at least go to a Bible study, or do, you know, praise the Lord, worship Him, you know, don't allow fear to keep you from worshiping God. That's not what God would have us do. You know, we are not to live in fear. We're just not.
What we're doing right now, though, that is so much like this, this is right in this book of Judges, chapter 6.
Yeah.
Is we are turning to men in the church rather than to God. We are.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we're going to suffer the same
exactly.
consequences. Now read
yep.
16 again, and then go to read 16, and then go right on to 22, and read 22 through 24.
All right,
16.
And the Lord
one more
said
time.
To him, and the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man."
I can't tell you, Raven, that my conviction to that statement is as strong as yours is. Not lifting you above me. I'm just being dogmatically, I believe, accurate. Okay.
Surely I will be with you. Surely I will be with you.
I know that, Raven, but I don't have this. Hold on. I don't have the same commitment to that over the long haul and the increasing trouble that comes that you do. At this moment.
Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat disease as one man.
Well, hold on.
You shall.
You're on 22?
I'm on 16. Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat disease.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Defeat COVID. You shall defeat Ebola.
You're
you
right.
shall defeat the plague as one man.
I got you. No, I got you. Now go to 22.
Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you."
Wait a minute. Hold on. You believe
that,
don't you? You haven't seen him visually, but you've seen him face to face. Okay.
Faith is knowing and not is having faith without seeing.
Right. Good, good.
If I have to see God, if I have to see God in order to believe in him, that's not faith.
Okay. Now, once you're in that vein, what happens in verse 23? All of a sudden, your attitude changes to verse 23. Go ahead.
Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die."
And that's a promise to us. We're going to die physically, but not spiritually. don't anybody be concerned about physical death, because there's no way you're going to avoid it.
Yes, exactly.
With a spiritual death, which is the lake of fire for all eternity.
Exactly.
All right, now go ahead and do 24. And before you do that, I want to throw in that an altar was the place of sacrifice, which is the cross. Go ahead.
Yes. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord Shalom. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. It's Abiezrites.
Now it came to pass
the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it.
And this is in the churches. This is in the churches. This is what I want you to see. This is the churches, folks. We're doing the same thing. We've got false gospels rampant. We've got the silliness of the prosperity message where people, even somebody I used to go to church with, I see where they put on Facebook every day. Oh, I'm exaggerating every day. But if you'll just believe and claim it, you'll be wealthy. And if I'm going to church, gosh on me. Go ahead.
We need to tear down our altars of Baal. All of us.
In the church.
Yes.
See, this is in the church.
Yes. Yes.
And we're doing the same thing. I'm saying we are. This is not 2,900 years ago. This is September 25th, 2022.
And Carl, I'm not saying this to just people listening. I'm talking to myself, too. We all need to tear down our altars of Baal.
Absolutely. Because I've still got some.
We all do.
Yep.
We all do.
That's why trouble
And we need to repent of that.
Amen. And that is the purpose of God allowing trouble in our life to lead us to repentance.
Yes.
Now, once you tear down these false gods in your church, what is the next thing you do in the church? Read 26.
And build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement. And take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice. Hold on, I got to turn a page. With the wood of the image which you shall cut down.
Now, this is interesting. Bear with me. The altar is a place of sacrifice. And the central point of all human history was the cross, which was the altar, the place of sacrifice. Everybody in the Old Testament was saved by believing in the coming sacrifice of the cross. Everybody in the New Testament is saved by their faith in the event of the cross that happened 2,000 years ago. And go on to the top of this rock. That rock, the spiritual rock, Ephesians says, is Christ.
Yeah.
You see where this is all pointing to Jesus Christ, even though it's the Old Testament. And build an altar. That is, build an altar is the place of the sacrifice that saves your soul. That was the cross. And build it unto God, the Lord your God, upon the top of this rock. Build it on Christ. That's what he said. That's where, where honestly, in Roman Catholicism, I used to believe that that rock was Peter. No. When he said, build on this rock, he was talking about himself. He is a rock. The rock is stability.
Yeah.
It never moves. It's immutable. It doesn't change. Build on this rock was referring to the coming Messiah in the ordered place. In other words, do it where God says and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice. That every animal that was sacrificed had to be spotless, without blemish, without any deformity whatsoever. That was pointing toward Jesus Christ, who committed no sin as the animal didn't, paying for our sin, but it had to be the perfect lamb, not even one spot in it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what does it say here? With the wood of the, you're going to have this burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which you will cut down. What was the wood they cut down? It was the Asherah poles in the church that were used for Satan worship. So he's saying he wants you to destroy the wood of your false gods in your church. Destroy them. Mm-hmm. Don't leave any reason to go back to them. If it's a cell phone, if it's pornography, if it's your church and your denomination your faith is in rather than Jesus Christ who died on the cross, get away from
utterly it. Destroy it.
Amen.
Yeah. Utterly destroy it.
Paul says something in one of the epistles that whoever rebuilds what was once destroyed becomes a transgressor. How many of these Asherah poles do I have? Oh, I wasn't worshiping Satan. No, I wasn't. Not specifically. I was worshiping something other than Christ, which is a false god. Burn it, Carl. Get rid of it. If it's your tie-in to discipline as you grew up with until you were 43 years old, spiritual discipline, get rid of it. I still have a problem with that Asherah pole. This is to all of us, folks. Don't look at this as 3,000 years ago. This is today. And apply it to your own self. You've got to personalize it or it's meaningless.
Yes.
All right, go ahead with 26:7. Keep going.
You know, I want to kind of put that. There was, you know, that movie that we recently saw. Running the bases, that Christian.
Yeah,
because there was something that happened in that movie that I thought was just beautiful, and that was the son of the father in there. I think the son's name was Josh. Yeah, it was Josh after the father's brother when he was giving the gospel to his friend. He personalized it and used that boy's name. Do you remember that? He said, if I can't remember, I think the boy's name was Ryan, if I remember. And he said, if Ryan will, he took the verse and says, if Ryan calls on the name of the Lord.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was.
That's exactly where I'm going. Go ahead.
Yeah, if Ryan will call on the name of the Lord, and that's why I say, you know, if we would do this as we're reading scripture, you know, and just, you know, and see how we put, if we put our name into, you know, into scripture as we're reading it and see how this really is meant for us personally. It's every verse is meant for us personally. Like, let me just, I'm looking in Hebrews 12 for just for a moment. Okay. And, and I'm 12:7 and I'm Raven. So if Raven endures chastening, God deals with Raven as with sons. See, we need to personalize every single verse and realize that he's talking to us personally in every single verse of scripture.
And I
every
got a
single
question,
one.
Raven. How many people do you know, how many people that you can look at that are actually in the Christian churches, in Christian conversation, worshiping Baal?
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself the question.
Yeah.
And I don't even know who you are, no less who Baal is. But if you're worshiping Baal, get away from it, folks. This is your immortal soul. You've got a chance to evaluate your life according to the Bible right now. The moment you turn room temperature, the moment the spirit of life is out of you, you have no more choice.
Yeah.
That's why there's going to be an eternity of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Gnashing of teeth is bitter anguish. Because they people have the chance now. We're saying this. We're pointing the finger at ourselves. We're not pointing the finger at ourselves to be seeker sensitive, which means that if I take on every sin and show that I'm the weakest person in the world, no, I'm not doing that. I have no interest in that nonsense. What I'm saying is we have got to personalize this. We have got to face what the thing that could stand between us and the new heaven and new earth. We've got to do it, folks. You've got a chance now. The moment you die, there's no more chance. It's over. And if you've made the wrong decision because you're swayed by man's stupidity rather than the Bible, and I'm talking man's stupidity, even in church when they don't go by everything in the scripture. I had another person today criticizing a minister, and it's the same person criticizing this minister. And the biggest complaint they got against him is he does not give up, get up, and give his three-point seminary sermon. He's every week, I've gone now for over 2 years, every week he gets in the pulpit or he stands up on the altar there at the podium and he says, this is not a sermon. He doesn't say the word sermon. He says, open your Bible. And people can't stand the man for that, some people.
Yeah.
What's our astronaut pole in church? Who is our Baal? What is it? Recognize it.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. On that same vein, talking about this movie today, I've been following it, you know, and seeing how it's doing and stuff. And you know, I don't mind putting a plug out there for it because it's a good Christian biblical movie, you know.
It is, and
it's called Running the Bases. And if you listen to this, you know, I don't know how much longer it's going to be out. It was extended another week this week. You know, I pray that it's extended again next week because it's so good. And we should be supporting good Christian entertainment. I hate to even call it entertainment. It is, but it's just so biblical.
Is. In fact, all my life, I've only had one main diversion, and that was sports. That is based a lot on baseball, a lot of base. So, no, it is entertaining.
It is, but it's just so. In fact, I'm thinking about taking my granddaughter there to see it this week. So, it'd be my third time seeing it.
Is she with you at night?
Yeah, she is. She is. Yeah, so I'm thinking about taking her to see it this week. So anyway, but you know, a guy said, you know, well, I'd go and see it, but, you know, with movie and popcorn and a drink, it's $33 just for one person. And I said, so go see it and don't get a popcorn or a drink.
Yeah.
You don't have to. And, you know, but then my other thought was, you know, I don't know this guy well enough to say it, you know, to go into this, but, you know, what would you spend, though, that's secular, a lot of money on? I'm quite sure that, you know, would you spend $150 to have all your buddies over for the big football game at the beginning of the year? The
tailgate party?
What's that?
Tailgate party?
No, the January big football game.
Super Bowl?
I can't think what it's called. What's that? Super Bowl, Super Bowl party or something, you know? Or what is your big thing? You're talking about Baal, you know. What are your big things that you go out and spend? Is it do you spend a lot of money on your car because that's your baby? You know, what are your secular things that you spend a lot of money on? Can't you give up $33 out of that secular stuff to go out and put money into God one time out of the year, just once out of the year? Don't go to Starbucks for a month, you know, or whatever your thing
Raven,
is.
Raven, The easiest thing is what you said. I walked into the theater, I paid $6.50 for a ticket, and I went to the water
right.
fountain and took a drink. I mean, you don't have to buy $10 worth of popcorn. That's
right.
stupid.
It is. That's just unnecessary. Go in, watch the film. I mean, it's 2 hours. You can go without for 2 hours. You
well,
know,
really,
go in
problem,
and watch
the
movie.
Problem, the problem is not or the cost.
Right.
The problem is people really are not interested in what this movie has got to say.
That's what it is. It's an excuse, you see.
Yes.
It's an excuse.
Because I would, let me tell you a little story. You knew and I told you that this year there was some friends of mine that live near New York City that came out here for the biggest auto race in the United States of America each year on Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped on the way out, well, to Indianapolis. He stopped on the way out to Cleveland, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And he went to see a Cleveland Indians game.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his wife are on vacation. He says, we're going to do this right. He said, we're going to go down and just watch this Cleveland Indian baseball game, and we're going to get the first row seats right behind the catcher.
Okay.
And when the ticket agent told him how much it was, like 65, 70 bucks a ticket, he said, wait a minute, there's got to be a mistake. You say that we'll pay what we want. In Yankee Stadium in New York, this guy told me, and it may have been
uh-huh.
a playoff game, he paid $2,000
right.
for one seat behind home plate. We will spend
wow.
the money. The money's not the issue. The money is not the issue.
Right.
Not at all.
Right. No, the money is not the issue. The issue is, where do you want to spend your money?
Right.
What is
Amen.
Your priority? What is your
Amen.
Priority?
And here,
yep.
Raven, if I am that way, that I really don't want to see the movie,
right.
then ask God to give you the ability. See, this is what it is. We're not saying here, Raven or I, that you've got to emulate us and have all pure thoughts about everything. We're just saying
right.
when you've got difficulty and you recognize you're worshiping Baal in your church, get away from
yeah.
it. Ask God to give
right.
you the strength, though. Don't do it on your own. Or you now
no.
become the item of worship.
Right, exactly.
All right,
right.
let's go to 27.
And
well,
let me say, I'm certainly not saying, oh, worship me because I'm so wonderful and great. Please don't.
Oh, heaven.
Because you're going to start finding flaws in me as well. You know, you'll start finding
well,
flaws in me
on.
As soon as you start.
Raven,
yeah.
that's what you're going to see in verse 27 of Gideon. He starts to show that he is flawed. That's
mm-hmm.
exactly where Gideon, read 27. What you just said is exactly where it's going.
Right. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city.
That? Hold on. Do you
yes.
see that? Because he feared his
yes.
father. Here's where he went the way you're saying.
Yeah. Because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night.
No, okay,
yeah.
stop right there. He feared his father's household, right? Now
yeah.
read verse 16 again. 16.
All right. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.
And yet now you read 27. You see where Gideon was flawed. God is
yep.
not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people who are willing to allow his strength to work in them. You see where Gideon
yeah.
had a problem? Even after God
yep.
promised, and he believed this God, he's
yeah.
still intimidated by man.
Yes.
Gideon is a human
being. So he didn't
being,
really
I want
believe.
You to see that. I want you to see this. These people in the Bible, folks, are no different than you. There's not one of these people in the Old or New Testament that if you were to take modern technology and put on YouTube or Facebook today, everything Carl has thought about in the last 24 hours would agree. There's not one that don't have perverted thoughts occasionally. There's not one of us who don't turn to Baal. What God is saying, just start coming and come bring this to me and let me deliver you.
You know what he's saying here, Carl? I believe you, God, but I think you need my help.
That's right, exactly. But is not that what all the churches today, Raven, hold on. Read Galatians 1:8-9.
I believe you, God, but I think you need my help.
Okay, you know, what did Galatians 1:8-9 say? If you preach any other gospel other than the gospel we've delivered, it says, be damned, be cursed.
Yeah, let me get it exact. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As
now,
we have said before. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're believing another gospel, folks, as exactly what Gideon was, and that gospel was he did not want to offend the people in his father's household or church. You see what it is? You can't allow this to destroy your soul. But I'm afraid to do it. Everyone in this book is the same as you. They've got fears. They've got insecurities. They hear God.
Yep.
They believe God, but they're still afraid.
Yep.
That's what God is using, folks. But if you'll submit to him, he will make you overcome it. He will do it. You won't get better. You have nothing to get better.
Right.
Okay.
Reminds me of that picture I sent you that one time. Every so often I just get reminded. I don't know if you remember it, that picture where that woman said, you know, yep, well, you know, we think we got to pray, but we just have to remember that we have to get up and do it. Stop it. We don't get up and do anything. God, let God do it. That doesn't mean we sit in our house and expect God to bring it.
That's a very good distinction. You're not sitting there and saying, like a lot of people go the other way, well, I'm not going to do anything. I don't want to take it out of God's hands. No, that's not what it's saying. And people know this. They use flimsy cliches because they quite honestly don't want to serve God, period.
Right. So they think so what you're saying is I don't have to go out and look for a job because God's going to bring it to my house. Don't be stupid, you know. That's just dumb.
You and I know someone who believe that, and their marriage collapsed because of it.
Yeah.
All right, go to verse 28.
Okay. And when the men of the city arose early.
Here's the church, Raven. Here's the church. When Raven leaves the church, or just does something against the items of worship of Satan in the church, here's what's going to happen from your friends. Go ahead.
Okay. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar, which had been built.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Keep going.
So they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it.
Okay, stop right. Stop right there.
Okay.
Stop right there, folks. If you think that you're going to take a stand for Jesus Christ against Satan, and your church is not going to turn on you like a rabid dog, you're naive. We're naive. I'm not saying stupid. I'm not saying you're not astute in the business world. You're spiritually naive.
Right. Yep.
Remember, Satan, David Wilkerson has a YouTube video you should listen to. He says it much better than I. It's called Last Day's Deception. And at this whole talk by Wilkerson, over 40 minutes, in fact, I think it's almost an hour, is about the church people in the churches are going to be the ones to crucify you if you take a stand for Jesus Christ only. And David said that he hates to say it, but it's in every church. And he said, if it's not in your church, you got a worse problem because Satan's already got you. He's not trying to destroy you. I mean, it's really interesting. Last day's deception. But go ahead and pick up on 31.
All right.
Joash now is his father.
And Joash said to all who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by mourning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down.
And I give Joash credit. He stood up for his son, not because he was defending the son, but because he stood up for what he believed. And Raven, you and I talked about earlier about we're swayed in our thinking because we really don't firmly believe anything for sure. We're swayed by men. I got to give it. It's just Joash. I give him a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has torn down his altar. Then all the Midianites...
Okay, now, he says on that day, he called him. Is this meaning his son Gideon?
On that day, I believe so. That's my understanding.
I did not realize Jerubbaal was Gideon, but that's what it, yep. Okay, we're just agreeing here on grammar. Okay.
Yeah. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon...
Hold on. Here, do you see where they're now out after your skin? You're going to stand for God. It's going to cost you, folks. It's going to cost you friendship. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Most
now,
definitely.
Watch what Raven said before, that you're not going to do anything. Here's what Jerubbaal or Gideon was willing to do. Listen.
But the Spirit, but we have to notice how he did it. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. How important is that? The Spirit of the Lord. Yeah.
Well, he waited. We don't see any action. We don't see him defending himself in verses 29 through 31.
The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And if we are saved... We have the Spirit of the Lord, but we have to wait for him to tell us to act.
Amen.
We have to listen to him.
The fact we're born again, Raven, does not necessitate the next step, that we don't take it out of his hands.
Right. Yeah. Okay. We have to follow the Holy Spirit and what he tells us to do.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet. And the Abiezrites gathered behind him.
Okay.
Then sent messengers through all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came up to meet him,
Okay, now hold on. You see how many people are now coming up with him? Remember, before he had to do it at night so nobody would see him? He didn't want to be blamed?
Yes.
Now read verse 34 again. Read 34, the first statement.
But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon.
Now look what Gideon does. Now he starts, everybody's coming to him because God was now working for him. It wasn't
his ability.
Boy,
I'm
seeing more in this than when I studied it.
Yeah, this is God charge of everything.
Now, let's look at this. Gideon does not get a big head. Verse 36, he still stays humble before his God.
Then Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, if you will save Israel by my hand, this is what we say every week, Carl. You run this ministry through us. We're not running it. You run it.
Well, that's your prayer
said
earlier. That's the prayer you said.
Yeah, it's not us. It's him.
Mm-hmm.
If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, and let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground.
Now, let me interrupt here a minute.
Yes, please do.
Do you see where Gideon questioning God for clarification? He was not doing it out of unbelief.
Right.
He wanted to make sure that he was listening to the right spirit. Raven, when I hear everybody say that God told me this, that's a thing that comes to my mind.
Yes.
You know, are you sure God told you? We've got to be careful, folks, because the enemy, Satan, in the last days is disguising himself as an angel of light. You've got to be very careful. Do you see where this could be looked at as Gideon not believing God? But in his mind, you can, by the context of the way it's going, you can see he just wants to be assured that he's listening to the right spirit. And I want you to do that in your everyday life. If some nitwit comes up to you and tells you, as I heard a lady one day on a national Christian program saying that some person came and said God had showed them their both husband and wife were to sell everything they got, move to Kansas City, and they said their whole lives were destroyed over this. Don't listen to a spirit unless you know it's the spirit of God, because there are false spirits, folks, in the churches today. 1 John tells us 2,000 years ago, 1 John 2:18 through 23, and 3 and 4, verses 1 through 4, tell us that the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well back in that day, the spirit. You don't know.
Yes.
You have got to stay close. There's nothing wrong with asking God to confirm it with you. Nothing. The thing that's wrong is if you're doing it because you don't believe him, then that's wrong. But if you're doing it just to make sure, just to make sure. James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He does not hold it against you if you're just trying to make sure it's him, because we've got a lot of false gods preaching. They're in the churches, folks. There's nowhere else for them to preach. They're not preaching in ATT Stadium, if it's still called that, in Dallas tomorrow with the NFL Monday Night Football game? Well, it may not. It may be in New York. But they're not in the athletic arenas. The false doctrines are in the church. So there's nothing wrong with asking God to confirm it, as long as you're not doing it because you don't believe it or you don't want to do it. And there's another challenge. I don't want to do it, God, so unless you give me 5,000 confirmations. No, but if you're asking God, please confirm this so I don't go wrong, he'll do it.
Yes.
He did it to Gideon. Okay,
yes.
I'll read 40.
And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground.
Now you see, God recognized. God knows your motive. You can say the same words, and God can punish you for it, or he can confirm it. God knows your motive.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Yep.
Absolutely. I had this happen to me. I had somebody come to me and tell me that it had been revealed to them something I was supposed to do. And and so, you know, I went to God, prayed to him, and I said, what's that?
But wait, God never told you. Isn't that amazing?
Well, but here's the thing. I really did trust this woman. I believed that she was a good praying woman. Okay, and at the time, I was having some difficulties. I was really having some problems. And so, you know, and so I said, you know what, this is a possibility, because I knew that she was really a praying woman.
Okay, Raven, and that's what Gideon is doing. He's saying, God, this is possible, but I still need you to confirm it.
Right. And so I prayed that night, and I said, okay, Lord. I said it's very similar to this. It was a big thing with property and with me moving and stuff like that. So I said, okay, Lord, if this is so, I need you to show me. I need you to show me exactly, you know.
Very good.
Yep. And interestingly enough, he showed me, and she was correct. She was.
Okay.
He showed me that next morning. He brought it to pass, and gave me the money that I needed, the exact that I needed. I mean, he made everything happen exactly. So I agree with this 100%, what is happening here, you know, definitely, you know, pray about it and make sure. But there's, as long as you're not doing it like you say, Carl, in some superstitious way. I've seen people, you know, do things in superstitious ways. Well, you know, this whole laying out of the fleece thing, thinking that it means, well, if you put it out three times and two out of three times this happens, that means that God's behind it. Do you see what I mean? Thinking that it's some sort of like a superstition almost. You understand what I'm saying?
I got disconnected, so I missed the last 2 minutes.
So, okay. Okay. So I said, as long as you're not doing it in some sort of a superstitious way. Like, I've known people who have done this laying out of the fleece thing and said, well, I'm going to put it out three times, and if two out of three times it comes this way, something, you know, however way they use to do it, you know, they call it the laying out of the fleece, but they may do some particular thing and say, well, if it happens this way two out of three times, I'll know God's behind it. No, that's superstitious nonsense. You need to truly go to God and ask him to show you. You don't do superstitious type things. Well, two out of three times, that must mean that God's, that's superstition. You see, am I making myself clear? Did that make sense?
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Yeah, okay.
Anything that you start putting anything you start putting on God, it could be right, it could be wrong. It depends on your motive.
Right.
If you're trusting in numbers and numerology, you're in trouble.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But I'm with you. I'm with you. Now read verse 40 again. Once God confirmed this to Gideon, what did Gideon do?
And God did so that.
Yeah.
And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground.
Okay, but now God's confirmed it to Gideon. Now he's got Jerubbaal, Gideon. He's got a decision.
Mm-hmm.
God's confirmed it. Are you now going to put everything on the line and trust God? This is another issue. When you know there's God, are you willing now to, and this is one thing that movie did show, are you willing to follow him if it costs you everything you've got?
Right.
This is a real life situation, this movie. Are you willing to go with God no matter what, even if you lose everything?
Yes.
That's a tough question. But here Gideon is showing, from being a weak little fearful coward that he was back here in chapter 6, where he says, I can't do anything. My family, chapter 6, verse 15, he said unto him, oh, my Lord, where will I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my father's house. Now, look at the transformation. Once he, in good faith, asked God to confirm it, and God did, he believed it. And now let's start with verse chapter 7. And this confirms Jerubbaal is Gideon.
Yes. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley.
Now, do you see where
and the Lord,
do you see where the, Raven, do you see where the Gideon of verse 16 of chapter 6 that said, I'm nothing? You see where when God, when he asked God that question and God confirmed it, he didn't, no more if, ands, or buts. He went right to work.
Yes.
Trusting God.
Yes. Absolutely.
This is still a tough, this step is tough. This may be the hardest step there is, but you've got to do it if you really believe. All right,
you just have to, and you must continue. That's
Amen.
starting a thing is easy. It's the continuing.
And Raven, that's what happened in this movie. This guy said, I don't care if they're going to accuse me of breaking the law. I'm going to keep running the bases. But then all of a sudden some disasters happened to him. But he, and then he came to a moment of truth where he said, I'm going to continue no matter what costs.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to verse 2.
And just like Gideon, what do we do? What do we do when we're faced with that moment of truth? I can either back down.
I can't tell you. I'm confident. I'm not confident myself that in all circumstances, Raven, I do what that guy did in the movie. I'm serious.
And this is why, you know, this is exactly what we go through, you know, on Earth, and to get to that final moment is running this race. You know, going through this, you know, all of this, just so that when we get to that final moment, it's going to be, you know, does he know us? Does he truly know us?
And do we truly believe him and know him?
Yes.
See,
yes.
Knowing about
do we
him,
really
knowing
trust
him
in Christ?
Yeah. You know, I love athletics, Raven. Here's an example. Knowing him and knowing about him are different. I grew up idolizing certain athletes, and I'll tell you who they are. They were I grew up in New York City, and the New York Football Giants were the first team in modern football history who, instead of offensive players, were the heroes. It was a defense. The crowd the defensive players were the heroes. And that. Hmm. And then I was always interested in auto racing. Always interested in auto since before I went to grade school. And the driver that I had the chance to see, believe it or not, in the East Coast, I saw him constantly. It was a guy named A.J. Foyt, who became one of the greatest drivers ever. The point is, I can quote statistics on Foyt and look at race cars he drove, tell you who owned the car, tell you where it was in the 50s. Yes, I can. But I've never met the man. And I may be using a silly analogy, but there's a big difference between knowing the person and knowing about them. And if you don't know about them, you can't trust them. As much as I admired the football team and I admired A.J. Foyt's tremendous skill as a race car driver and mechanical knowledge, I wouldn't trust him for anything because I don't know the man. I've never talked to him.
Boy, that's a good point. I love that you say you wouldn't trust him. And have you trusted in Christ? Right.
Exactly.
Right.
That's why we've got to get beyond this repeating the sinner's prayer, folks. We got to get down and bear our soul to God as Gideon did. Well, it is. And Raven, that's why I think my little weakness that I've got where I say I'm not where you are in certain things, I don't think that I fully, because if I fully knew him more than knowing about him, I would trust him. I believe that one's a result of the other.
Yeah.
And I think we're sold so much in the churches just to know about him, even though that's dissipating.
Yeah.
With the phony gospels. We've got to actually know him.
Yeah.
Spend time
with
him. Go through trials with him. Be willing to be knocked down on your rear end if it's necessary.
Yes.
And maybe he's doing that to get your attention because all you do is study about him, but you won't even talk to him. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to be willing. You have to be willing to be knocked down, you know? Yes, Lord. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Raven, I have been getting that way in the last year. And when I say it, I'm saying it sort of with my tongue crossed because I'm hoping that he doesn't take me literally. And yet I'm saying, I don't care what you got to do. I'm going to yell and scream and I'm going to carry on. But I cannot gamble on going into eternity without knowing you.
Yes. Yeah. And I know that you mean that. I know that you do.
Because I'm seeing my weaknesses. I've asked God to show me about a year ago where I'm in the church of Satan, the synagogue of Satan of Revelation 2. I'm in the place where Satan dwells. I'm in the church of Laodicea, and he's showing me. But it's not just a matter of him saying, okay, Carl, here's this. And Carl said, okay, I get rid of that. No. This is a battle I'm going through daily, and you know that.
I know.
What, Raven, I'll tell you, we've got 5 minutes left. If you want to say some more, and then go ahead and so I don't take time up on the next person coming. I don't want to go through seven because there's a whole different set of circumstances that we got to get into. Because now Gideon knows God's on his side. And now God's got to knock his pride down a little bit. That's a topic I don't like to talk about, but we're going to.
You know, and I know, Carl, that when...
Hold on. Hold on, Raven.
Yeah.
I know that you're an expert in this field where God has broke you of all your ability or pride. That's why I don't want to start this now and cheat the topic, because you went through this.
Right. I did. And I know that that you get a little tired of me sometimes saying it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit, you know, because I do. I say that a lot, but my reason.
No, I don't.
You
get
need
tired.
To understand.
I don't get tired. I just want you to realize that he wouldn't do it to you if you weren't listening.
Okay, I see your point. Yes,
But I
know that. I know that any time, it's just that I have to point to him all the time because it is my, I know that it is one of my weaknesses. It is a weakness of mine still. Even I have still not conquered that. Even though God has brought me through, you know, the valley of the shadow of death, you know what I mean, with so much, with the pride issue and all this kind of thing, I still, the Holy Spirit fights me with it all the time. You know, there are things, and it's possible that, it's possible that I am a little bit overly concerned about it. I don't know. Or maybe it's just that the Holy Spirit is constantly on me saying, don't you go back down that road. Don't go back down that road. Don't even turn and look at it. Don't even glance back at it.
I think that's exactly part of it. Maybe not all of it, but part of it.
I do. I think that he is just wanting to make sure that I never even take a eyeball's glance back down that road, because he knows it's an issue for me just as much as taking even one Percocet, let's just say, or one whatever is, you know, someone else's. You know, maybe one drag off of a cigarette or whatever someone else's one little, you know, thing is, you know.
It's like a drunk having a drink. You can't do it.
Exactly. Yeah. He's like, you can't even. And so when, you know, when somebody says that, it's sort of the first thing I think of is it's not me. I have to point to God's glory. I have to point to him because it is my weakness. And interestingly enough, you would not think so if you knew me before. Because, and you know my background, I have a background with abuse and just like a lot of really horrible things that people would say, and I would agree with, that I have what the world knows as self-esteem issues, okay, where I would constantly put myself down. And so it seems
I understand.
To be contrary.
The two are contrary to another,
They are. But the issue is that in order to feel better when you have self-esteem issues, in order to feel better, you have this tendency to try to
do
sort
it,
of you understand where I'm
pride.
Going here.
I definitely do. Hey, I hate to say this, but we got less than a minute.
We
got to
go.
Yeah, but we'll continue with, we're going to hit another place now where God's going to say, I've got to make you uncomfortable in your own flesh or your pride's going to kill you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've been very uncomfortable and still am. Heavenly Father.
Well, but we're going to get into that next week. Okay.
All right. Heavenly Father, you know, we just thank you right now for making us uncomfortable, for putting us or allowing us to go through trials in our lives, because that discomfort is what ultimately brings us closer to
Amen.
You.
Amen.
We love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us enough to allow that discomfort.
Okay.
We'll love you, Lord,
off,
and we praise your name.
Right, next week, we're going to get into next week to chapter 7. Please be with us. Raven, thanks for being on. Take care. Bye.
Thank you.